Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Problems with Modern Monetary Theory: A Comment on Stephanie Kelton's The Deficit Myth by Robert Wenzel is a short nonfiction economics booklet written as a direct critique of Modern Monetary Theory, or MMT, published in response to Stephanie Kelton's widely discussed book, The Deficit Myth. It sets out to challenge the assumptions behind MMT and to argue that its policy conclusions rest on weak foundations. The book is not a neutral survey of monetary economics. Instead, it is an explicitly oppositional work that reflects a market-oriented and anti-interventionist perspective. Its purpose is to identify what Wenzel sees as fundamental errors in the MMT framework, especially around government spending, deficits, interest rates, and the role of markets in price formation. Because of its compact format, it is aimed at readers who want a fast, pointed rebuttal rather than a technical academic treatise. It is best understood as an ideological and economic counterargument within a contemporary policy debate. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a direct rebuttal to Stephanie Kelton's case for modern monetary theory. The central structure of the booklet is its relationship to the deficit myth. Wenzel does not attempt to build a broad standalone theory of money from first principles. Instead, he organizes the book as a response to Kelton's popular exposition of MMT, treating her work as the main object of criticism. This makes the booklet highly targeted. Its value lies in showing where the author believes Kelton's claims become implausible or logically unstable. That format matters because it places the book in a debate rather than a classroom-style survey. Readers are not getting a balanced introduction to MMT, but a counter-reading shaped by skepticism toward government intervention. The book's distinctive role is therefore argumentative. It tries to persuade readers that MMT should not be accepted simply because it sounds intuitively attractive in the context of public debt or fiscal expansion. Instead, Wenzel frames MMT as a doctrine that deserves sharp resistance, making the booklet useful for readers already familiar with Kelton's thesis and interested in the strongest, concise opposing view. Secondly, why the book rejects the idea that government deficits are economically harmless. One of the main themes is the disagreement over fiscal deficits and their consequences. MMT is often presented as a framework that reduces anxiety about government borrowing by emphasizing monetary sovereignty and the state's capacity to issue its own currency. Wenzel challenges that comfort directly. He argues that the assumptions supporting MMT are not credible, and that its treatment of deficits ignores how markets, incentives, and institutional constraints actually work. The booklet therefore pushes back against the view that public deficits can be expanded with little real cost. This is not merely a technical disagreement about accounting. It is a dispute about whether fiscal policy can be understood apart from broader economic behavior. Wenzel's critique implies that claims of deficit flexibility may encourage overly optimistic policy thinking by focusing on the danger of accepting deficit financing as benign. The book positions itself as a warning against policy narratives that downplay trade-offs, distortions, and unintended effects. Readers come away with a clear sense that the book treats fiscal restraint as a serious economic principle rather than an ideological preference. Thirdly, an argument that markets, not state intervention, anchor prices, and allocation. Another defining dimension of the book is its strong preference for market coordination over government management. Search result descriptions indicate that Wenzel repeatedly questions the assumption that public authorities must step in to prevent economic outcomes that the market would supposedly mishandle. In this view, MMT is not just wrong about deficits. It is wrong about how economies generate prices and distribute resources. Wenzel's critique suggests that market processes contain their own regulatory logic, and that government attempts to improve outcomes can introduce new distortions. This makes the booklet more than a comment on monetary accounting. It becomes a broader defense of decentralized price formation and skepticism toward the idea that policymakers can fine-tune complex systems from above. That perspective will appeal to readers who already lean toward classical liberal or libertarian economic reasoning. But it also clarifies the philosophical divide at the heart of the debate. The book's core implication is that once one overestimates the state's ability to guide the economy, one is likely to misread the practical limits of monetary policy as well. Fourthly, a compact critique of MMT assumptions about interest rates and monetary control, the booklet also focuses on specific claims associated with MMT, especially the relationship between deficits and interest rates. According to the search material, Wenzel takes issue with the notion that absent explicit intervention, fiscal deficits would naturally push short-term rates to zero. His criticism is important because it shows that the book is not only about general ideology, it also targets practical macroeconomic mechanisms. Interest rate behavior is central to monetary policy debates, and Wenzel treats MMT's explanation as implausible because it appears to treat financial outcomes as too mechanically determined by policy structure alone. By disputing such claims, the book aims to show that MMT oversimplifies how rates emerge from institutional settings, expectations, and market conditions. This gives the booklet a more analytical edge than a purely rhetorical attack. Even though the work is brief, it uses concrete monetary policy questions to argue that the theory does not adequately account for real-world complexity. For readers, this section of the argument is useful because it turns an abstract controversy into a focused discussion of one of the most important variables in macroeconomic policy. Lastly, a brief, polemical booklet designed for fast reading rather than technical depth, the book's format is an essential part of its identity. It is described as a short booklet, easy to read, and intended for people who want a quick response to MMT rather than a formal academic study. That compactness affects both its strengths and limitations. On the positive side, it makes the critique accessible to general readers who may not want to wade through dense economic theory. On the other hand, the brevity also means the book relies on forceful assertion and selective argument rather than exhaustive evidence or extended methodological analysis. This helps explain the mixed reception it received. Some readers see it as eye-opening and efficient, while others view it as too compressed and too dismissive. The booklet stands out because it tries to enter a high-profile economic controversy in a brief, pointed form, almost like an extended polemical essay. For readers, the practical benefit is speed and clarity. The intellectual trade-off is that it serves best as a provocative counterpoint, not as a comprehensive treatment of monetary theory or macroeconomic policy. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a concise, conservative, or market-oriented critique of modern monetary theory, especially those already familiar with Stephanie Kelton's The Deficit Myth. It will be most useful to economists, policy readers, students of public finance, and general readers trying to understand why MMT has attracted both strong support and strong opposition. Its main value is not breadth, but focus. It distills a skeptical response into a short, readable format that highlights perceived weaknesses in deficit reasoning, government intervention, and policy optimism. Compared with more technical books on macroeconomics, it is much more accessible. Compared with neutral surveys of MMT, it is far more argumentative and direct. That makes it stand out in its category as a rapid counterweight to a popular pro-MMT narrative. Readers may not agree with its conclusions, but they will gain a sharper understanding of the core disputes surrounding monetary sovereignty, fiscal deficits, and market coordination. In that sense, the book functions less as a textbook and more as a compact debate piece that clarifies one side of a major economic controversy. If you would like to support Robert Wenzel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.